For adults with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms, every choice matters. Tremfya offers self-injection or intravenous infusion from the start. Tremfya is administered as injections under the skin or infusions through a vein every 4 weeks, followed by injections under the skin every 4 or 8 weeks. If your doctor decides that you can self-inject Tremfya, proper training is required. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Explore what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
It's the big sale of the year at All Modern, a Wayfair specialty brand. October 26th through the 29th. Save up to 70% off modern furniture and decor. Plus, fast and free shipping. Shop the big sale of the year at AllModern.com.
Football on Off the Ball.
When we're at this low ebb, I think we need, to be honest, not just an Irish manager, but like some legend who's achieved something.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Week, who knows, of 7, 9?
I think we're going into
8,
7, aren't we?
Into a week.
Yeah, there's a bunch of teams with 3 and 2 on boys. I think we're going into 7.
Yeah. It's this week's NFL pod, folks.
The most informed podcast on the internet.
What's the Patriots' record and have they had their bye yet? Yeah, into week 8, sure. 4 and 2.
In recent years, you haven't been using that metric to keep track of the season. What's the Patriots' record?
It's funny how you were out on the Patriots, I think, after week 1. It's like, you were like, the whole season's over.
I think I was a trust the process guy. Yeah. Come here, because they're not on the run order tonight, so I don't want to go into the development. The jump that Drake May has had was not predicted.
Top three pick Drake May was not predicted to be good. Is that what we're saying?
No, I didn't say
in
that.
In his second year, when quarterbacks always get better in their second year.
Okay, well, listening to the people who cover the Patriots every day, it was not suggested from the summer and from what we saw last year that he would go from where he was, that his trajectory has skipped a step. Because he is
MVP.
Well, he's a record that he broke on Sunday, which I don't have offhand, but it's I think it's like 250 consecutive games of 250 yards and 2 touchdowns or something like that. In their first 2 years, he's done it twice, I think now. No, maybe he's done it once, but the only other players that have done it are Peyton Manning and one other of a similar level to Peyton Manning. It's Dan Marino is the other one.
I was going to say that.
I know you can find stats like that all around the place.
On a Tuesday, he's the first player to score 18. Yeah,
that is the only first bald quarterback to play in the Super Bowl.
Because it's first 2 years, Brady. Yeah. Like, that's the only one he's not going to be in.
But grand. But anyway, all I'm saying is running game non-existent, third and long constantly. This guy's pulling it out of the, you know, there's a real excitement there that he has taken that next step. And the rest of the team can come with him. That'll take time. But if you have the quarterback playing at this level, exciting times.
And he's got Mike Vrabel heading back to face his old team when they've just sacked their coach next up.
Yeah.
So it's a trap game, notoriously trap game.
Yeah, I'd rather Callahan was still there.
As much as I like raining on Mick's parade, as much as I possibly can, I kind of can't disagree with him that much, except for the whole unexpected thing, because whenever you're like a high pick, second year, you expect a big leap forward. Now, if we wanted to try and put too much context on this and drill too deep into it, they were playing the Saints, which is a horrendous team, but I did feel watching the game, he made a lot of very difficult plays. It wasn't like
doesn't matter
played
who you're
the Saints
playing,
and they were terrible, and it was like, oh, wide open screens or wide open beep shots, all this kind of thing. I was kind of confident in him after last year, even though we all agreed he wasn't great last year, but it was how he handled bad situations. Like, the big key for me was he did at times make plays worse, but the consistency of him reacting to being hit early or the receivers not being open when they were supposed to get open, him not panicking, which was kind of unexpected to a degree, because him coming out of college was raw. You were kind of going, this guy might throw 25 interceptions in his first year, but he might also score 30 touchdowns. That wasn't how he played. So I'd be very excited as well. Yeah. And like, it is really about time the Patriots got another quarterback, because it's been, what, 4 years, five years since you've had a superstar running the show?
Cam Newton, Mac really Jones. Struggling.
Yeah, Cam, we forgot Cam Newton was there. My God.
Did Cam Newton get a full season?
Cam got the playoffs.
Did he?
Oh, no, maybe it was Mac Jones' first year they got to the playoffs. They've had one playoff run anyway since Brady.
Cam had no shoulder when he was throwing the ball for the Patriots.
Yeah, it was a disaster. But anyway, back now. 4-2. So much easiest schedule of all time. Tennessee and Cleveland up next. We should talk about Callahan, though, because he is... So he's fired, not before time. Like, he had some of the most bonkers decisions. You know, looking at it from a the uneducated eye on the sideline, he just seemed like an absolute, like, lunatic of a coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, none of them come to mind at the moment, but it was that general malaise of this guy is not making an impression or putting his imprint on this team in any positive way at all. Like, whenever you talk about a coach, you're kind of like, I've always been one of those people where it's like, it's very easy to kick a coach for mismanaging the time or mismanaging the clock and stuff like that, because we're all sat there watching on TV and we have the clock in front of us, the coach is managing 10 other different things, and you read for years, got abuse of it. So that kind of thing, I'm actually not that concerned about. I'm generally concerned when you don't have an identity of what the team is trying to build. And to me, their offense so far this year has felt like, Cam Ward, drop back. Things will probably not work. Just figure it out for us, please. And that's why you're looking at a team that has won one game, and that game was like the flukiest win you'll ever see. Yeah. We went through it last week.
Yeah. So he came from the Bengals, where he was the offensive coordinator. It's possible that maybe just having like the best quarterback or one of the top three quarterbacks,
yeah, with great receivers,
doesn't make you the best offensive coordinator and therefore a candidate to be a head coach,
especially in offense where the quarterback got beaten to hell over and over again every year while he was the coach.
Yeah, now maybe you'd blame the general manager for not picking any of the offensive linemen.
This is what I was going to ask, though, because if he's being portrayed as like this terrible coach, now that they're going to have possible, a standard level of coaching, depending on who comes in.
Will they be better?
We know that we don't know what we have with Cam Ward. I suppose that's the knowing unknowable. But for the rest of the talent level, do they have better than what they're achieving?
100% better
field?
Than what they're achieving, but yeah, like better than what they're achieving is probably a 3 or 4 win season. I think yeah, they're probably on track for 1 win this year, and probably 0 if they didn't get that fluke with the way he was coaching them. I think as well, like, Cam Ward will get better as the year goes on. This has happened very, very early in the year as well. There is a lot of games left, because in the NFL, I don't think it's ever happened. Maybe it has. I don't think anyone's ever been hired to a full-time head coach role during the season. Like, you have interim and that's it. Like, maybe there's someone out there who's not crossing my mind right now who they'll bring in straight away and throw them in. So there's going to be a lot of changeover. That can go 2 ways, though. Like, previously we've seen that, like, immediately you get a big boost. Is it DeMeco Ryans who came in? No, sorry, not DeMeco Ryans. Raheem Morris came in with either the Texans or the Falcons.
And they, was it, the guy at the Raiders who came in, that they always, oh, we're going to strike if you don't give him the gig. And then they didn't give him the gig.
Oh, Antonio Pierce, yeah.
And they did give him the gig and then they got rid of him.
Yeah.
It was the one that buried the football as well and said, this is how much we're going to fight for the
Bill Parcells did that, though. That's a rip-off of...
He didn't do it well, obviously, with the Pierce's version of it. But yeah, so, look, it can go completely different directions.
One of those 30 for 30s.
One of those all
the football. There's been a lot of coaches over the years.
I was like, oh, what if it had been a turf pitch, buddy? He's like, no, luckily it was grass.
But anyway, look, I think this can go 1 of 2 ways, and we'll know very quickly. It'll either stay where it is, because it can't really get worse, or they will take a leap. I would probably bet on them taking a leap, but that's as much as Cam Ward's going to get more and more comfortable as they go along. And typically, the new coach will come in and go, right, we were trying a lot of expensive things. Let's really simplify this, and that's where things get better. Tony Pollard can still run the ball. Their wide receivers aren't good, but they're like experienced.
I feel like Ridley could do a job if he was used correctly.
Yeah, but I feel like he's been on his like 5 teams at this stage, because 10 different coaches have gone, I think he can do a job if we use him correctly. Like you keep leaving us down. I remember that, is a Corey Coleman clip with the Browns where he was like this really talented receiver, and the Hard Knocks clip of him crying saying, I'm not getting opportunities, and then they gave him an opportunity and he was just nowhere near able to get into his routes even though he was incredibly talented. That's kind of who I think of when
another guy who came through the Titans.
Mike McCoy is going to be the interim head coach there.
Oh, so God. Ignore everything I said.
The way things
worse
would work in the NFL, if this was in football, they could go and bring in, you know, a championship manager.
Nuno.
You know, or someone that's already in a job. You know, in this case, you only get unemployed. No offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator is going to leave their job halfway through the season.
Essentially, yeah. I've never seen it.
You could trade for one if you thought that it was going to be worth it, but like, you can also get them for free at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, I just Googled it quickly. Like, the top names who are out or who are listed here as,
and you're
like
incentivized
candidates
to have a bad season from this point forward, because you can expend away and get a first pick.
Yeah.
Did they give up a first pick to get the first pick last year?
No, they were. Will Levis got them there by the hard way, the old fashioned route.
All right.
Gerard Mayo. Antonio Pierce, who we just talked about, Doug Peterson, and Mike McCarthy. So, like, you would have to be going, right, this is our guy for the next 4 years if I bring him in now. You're probably better off giving yourself time, seeing what coordinators stand out this year, who you can go and get. Because you can also go to the top coaches, candidates at the end of the season and go, we've got this superstar quarterback and probably have loads of cap space. I haven't checked myself.
Do they have a superstar quarterback?
Superstar talent, I guess you could say. I like him. I think he's very good.
They also are giving him the full season in a bad situation so that if they do have the number one pick again next year and it's not Cam Ward, they have a second chance.
And they might have Arch Manning, even though I don't know if he's
I don't think you're going to need a first round pick to get Arch the way things are going. Arch,
yeah. You can tell how much I follow college football.
He's only a nephew anyway. He's not a real...
Is he not? Not a blue
no, he's the loser Cooper. Brother, you know?
Right.
Son of the loser brother.
Probably very successful.
He's still the grandson of an NFL quarterback.
Maybe it skipped a generation in that one. We'll clip that bit there. And, copy
the joke,
copy all the brothers in, and they'll.
He's like, you know, the. I know, I'm not going to start naming third wheel brothers, but I'll go. The Gallaghers have another brother, don't they?
He's a wrong one.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a wrong one.
Right, okay. I'm sure Peyton and Eli's brother isn't the wrong one.
No.
He just didn't make it in special football.
We'll cut to Cooper.
Let's forget about this. Get me out of this conversation.
There, guys. Don't Google that.
What's next? More Patriots talk.
How about them Steelers? The Steelers, they're not on your rundown, I don't think. But they beat the Browns, who we said have a brilliant defense, who've been absolutely brilliant. And that was the... Joe Flacco debut at the weekend. No, it wasn't actually. They didn't put him in.
No, Flacco's playing for
Flacco's
the Bengals. I made that exact mistake last week. The exact same mistake.
He's all of them except the Steelers.
The Steelers. I was watching the Steelers in that game. Aaron Rodgers is... I don't know. Look, we'll see. And they're playing the Browns. He's getting better every game as opposed to, he started off okay, but watch this decline over the course of the year. I still think his body will catch up with him, or maybe the game plan won't be as... maybe they won't be able to have such a kind of a consistent game plan to protect him when they play against better teams later in the year. But I was looking at the Steelers' division odds, and they're only a small bit shorter than the 1-5 Ravens who we've talked about. And I was thinking, I think that's the most straightforward. We're not encouraging, you know, lumping on or anything like that. Those days are past. But I just don't understand how they don't win the division from here.
Those days are past.
Can I?
they're not.
I was
sure.
on.
Lump on.
Just checking the odds here.
Are we going to get 4-6? What kind of trouble are we getting into? Because we're going on a lot of different avenues.
We're not. We're fine.
No, I was with you 100% at the start of the year. I think I remember even saying it after week one when they won. And actually, I think I'm changing my mind. I don't think he's going to break down just because. I feel like he's bought in so much more than I expected him to. We can say what we want about Rodgers personally. Rodgers the person, not a fan personally. I think he's a lot of like big attention seeker. And the fact he hasn't done any of that stuff so far this year, it really highlights that. Like, obviously, before they signed him, Mike Tomlin sat him down in the room and was like, hey, this is the way this is going to work. If it doesn't work, you'll be gone. And Tomlin's one of the few head coaches who would just be like, you're gone. I don't need you anymore. And the other thing is, his relationship with Metcalf is so much better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Metcalf's been so much better than I expected him to be. Like, everyone sees the physical freak size, all that kind of stuff, but the consistency with him has never been there.
But
they're 11-8 on, and the Ravens are 11-8.
Yeah.
The Ravens being 11-8 and four
they have to play each other twice, but they're 1-5, and their defense is completely and utterly decimated, as Keane went through last week. And, like, it didn't show any signs that you were wrong at the weekend. I'm flabbergasted by that. But on Metcalf, I was about to say the exact same thing. We saw in Crow Park and we were saying, did he have that great game or did he have a big touchdown? But it just seemed like Rodgers was able to find him when needed. And that was a game when he didn't need him all that often.
He's like 6'4".
But he was there when he...
I'm
watching it again the last 2 weeks since, or they're by, but then the two games they played since. There's a... it's exactly that. It's Rodgers finds his Davante Adams or whoever it might be. He's always got somebody. And... you needed that to be Metcalf, and you needed that to work, and he didn't have that at the Jets. He got a little bit out of Adams in the end of last season, but he didn't have that in his season with the Jets, and he's got it here. And that's how Rodgers operates. That's how he plays quarterback. He has his go-to.
Did we talk enough about how big Darnell Washington is? I think we should mention this every week.
How big he is.
Yeah, you go to the game and you're like, what? That's not right. That guy's... the people beside him are massive.
I remember we were in Steelers training camp in August, whenever it was. And like Brian Howard, Dublin footballer, who's not a small person, he's not massive either now, but he was standing next to Darnell Washington. And it was just like, you look like a toddler. You know what I mean? You're bigger than me. Yeah. Darnell Washington's legs even are like wider than our waist. It's ridiculous.
He's catching passes from.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like, if he wasn't like freakishly, cartoonishly huge, he'd still be a pretty good player if he was just an average size tight end, which is rare. Normally, you get these big, massive guys and they're like not coordinated.
There's another offensive lineman almost. Yeah.
It was Algie Crumpler became that late in his career. He was this unbelievable pass catcher with the Falcons. Then he was just like, I'm going to get really big and become a blocking tight end and play it for an extra 5 or 6 years. Washington's kind of doing the opposite. He started off being really big and going the other way.
But Freiermuth is someone that he can always find as well. Later, like the running backs, you know, we saw when they had their backup in Dublin, but Warren is obviously holding him off as well. So it's like, there's plenty going on with that Steelers offense.
The best thing we can say about that offense, and historically it's what Mike Tomlin has tried to do since Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been there, but they haven't been able to do it, is they play to their situation. If they need to chase a game, they'll chase a game. If they need to manage a game and just let their defense go and win it for them, they'll do that. So that it's very weird because it's the antithesis of what Aaron Rodgers' whole career has been. This is the perfect Steelers quarterback, because in Green Bay he was the opposite. I'm just trying to get big plays every single time.
Green Bay on Monday night for them.
Wow.
Saturday morning, 2 weeks. No, the 27th. Yeah, you're right. That one. So.
Oh. It's going to be
hard
amazing.
To be an American football fan in this country, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the good games are on the middle of the night.
I think that's possibly a bank holiday Monday.
Oh, you're right, it is. You're right. It
makes no bloody odds to me.
There you go.
I would also just like to point out the London game last week. Was that one of the worst games of all time?
Minus 10 yards.
Sorry, I want to talk about that.
How difficult it is to have minus 10 yards. That means that you're completing passes for a loss more often than you're completing passes for a gain. Oh, how many completed passes did he have?
I don't know, was it 8?
Minus 10 over 60 minutes of football.
I honestly, getting me to watch that game back was an attempt I failed. But
the London games are hilariously
even
bad.
Even though, look, I think you're going to be right on a Broncos thing overall at the end of the year.
No.
A game like that, you can see why I was down on them and not overly excited about that offense in particular. Like, Knicks
isn't...
Yeah, that's the issue. Yeah. Like he does enough in games often. If you go back to the Eagles game last week, he did enough in the second half, but so rarely does he give you that Drake May stuff where it's like, we haven't talked about the Patriots in like 5 minutes, so I'm going to go back to it. that Drake May stuff where it's like, oh, you've done something here that really excites me, and you've solved a problem that another quarterback wouldn't solve. Him, if it's not perfectly schemed open for him by Sean Payton, it's not going to work.
And that's it. Maybe last year, they were just, the other players were just playing at a slightly higher level, that maybe there was more perfect schemes.
He might be our new Andy Dalton line. Where it's like, if everyone else plays well, we'll win. If no one else plays to a high level, you're not going to make anyone better.
They don't look like there's anybody there that's just going to win the game on their own.
Still better than Justin Fields, at least, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, just in terms of thinking of them as a contender, which I probably had them as earlier in the season, I would question that now.
Then again, I also said the Raiders were going to be good, and they are horrendous football team as well. So maybe we're just wrong about everything here. We don't even know what week it is, to be fair.
There is probably a little bit of the London stuff. Teams not... always being able to do everything they're good at. I don't know.
I think there's a London effect, and then there's that game of football though, which is like AFL standard.
The Jets stuff is horrendous. Like, I mean, they're 0-5. They had minus 10 yards like through the air. It's hard to actually understand how bad they have. Like, there was a time Justin Fields had a couple of games for the Bears a couple of years ago where I was like, this guy is doing enough that, and they obviously had the number one pick, I think, maybe traded for at that stage. So we kind of knew they were going to get the number one pick, didn't we?
No, there was something there.
They traded it, so we knew from the other team that they were going to have a really high pick and they were going to get one of the many quarterbacks that were in that draft. And it was like, what are they going to do with Fields? It's like, could they get a second for him here? They should, like, you know, he was winning games. He was doing it, fair enough, it was on the ground. But he was showing that those touches where you'll see, even in the first couple of games of the season, we saw it, where he can throw a shockingly good pass.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, all right, there's something there. But God, the bigger the sample size, the worse he gets. He shouldn't be a starter in the NFL at this stage.
He's not don't take this as a character comparison, take it as a skill and kind of application comparison. I think he's like Mario Balotelli. Like, it was like, you can do anything, but you just won't do it often enough. No, Balotelli was for different reasons because he was a bit mad.
And probably has had a better career.
Yes, but Fields is like capable of scoring from 90 yards, capable of hitting incredible deep shots, but he's not capable of hitting that out route 5 times that he needs to in a game. He's not capable of feeling pressure in the pocket 10 times that he needs to do so in a game, and it just kills your offense after a while, which is why the Bears were right to move on from, but they were so late in doing so, considering what he had shown them.
Do you stick with the Jets head coach? And this is just one of those things where he's got to go through a season like this. He's new, and like, if you're going to, I think this is the river of shit you need to swim through before you emerge the other side, and they should calm down.
You have to see how he conducts himself, though, Ger. You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm not close enough to it. I'm not seeing it. But I think if he's doing all the right things and he's making the right decisions to make them marginally better, and he is swimming through the shit forward as opposed to getting lost and going backwards, then you stick with him. Absolutely. It shouldn't just be record based. But if he's showing, like, Jared Mayo last year for the Patriots was complete and utter fish out of water, and it was obvious to everybody watching it, and they had to let him go. There was no, like, and he's not even in the NFL now. And
next Titans coach.
Possibly, but that would be a bad move for the Titans. And it just was obvious that he wasn't ready, he wasn't the guy. So I think people close to the Jets will know whether that's Glenn or not. I don't know, when we had the lads in here, they spoke so highly of him. I think Detroit seemed to not want to lose him as the defensive coordinator, but I don't know.
I was just going to say, like, on paper, that hire did not make any sense.
Well, sorry, Dan Campbell's record, first 11 games, 0-10-1, one tie in his first 11 games. So it's possible to...
And he's 100% that leadership character guy that they say Glenn is.
Yeah, and obviously comes from the same... So that's why I'm bringing
you mould your own guys.
Yeah, and maybe that's the direction it goes in. And I think because you've heard him, you can't do the Marinakis road of being like, I'm moving on again after 10 days to do another guy. Yeah. But I do look at that Aaron Glenn hire and kind of go, you took the guy who ran the part of the team that was the problem in Detroit. Like, the Lions had Aiden Hutchinson, he was great. Everyone else on defense was like relying on the offense to score enough for them to win the game. So I've always looked at that hire with skepticism. Now, if you're the Jets, you're obviously not viewing it that way. You look at him and you're like, the leadership's great, everything we can build on. So you have to stick with him. But I'm like,
was their defense not quite good until all the injuries last season?
Yeah, I thought so too.
Maybe I'm misremembering it. But over the course of his time in Detroit, I've always felt the defense wasn't good enough. It was always a case of, we're an offensive led team and we win high scoring games.
They had the number 7 pick in this year's draft. So I think they're going to be picking one. I think it's safe enough bet at this stage. Them and the Titans, maybe.
Yeah.
A slow bike race to the first pick.
The game this week that they could win, and I can't remember who it's against. Maybe it's the Browns, but I think they're favoured for it, and I don't think they're going to be favoured for any other game for the rest of the season.
So just to note, the Lions defence with Aaron Glenn over the last couple of years was like top 10 once in points, 7th overall. Everything else was 20th and below or 19th and below, including yards and points. Can I just say, by the way, we have to commit to this on air to make sure we actually do it. You have this draft data thing we need to actually bring on here and talk about in some form, because we keep forgetting to do it. Now we've said it on the show, we have to do it. Sorry.
There you go.
Complete aside for the moment.
I'll get Jared to guess the first and the 31st and 32nd. I've basically done an analysis. So since 2002 season, when the league was redrafted into the current divisions and the current 32 teams, I've done analysis of where every team picked or where every team was supposed to pick before trades.
Yep.
And who would you say has the highest average of a pick, so like closest to one, the two teams that have the highest average. This is over a case study of whatever it is, near 23 years.
Like, the obvious answer to that is going to be the Patriots and the Chiefs, but...
Sorry, no, they have the lowest.
Sorry, so it's the Browns and the Lions.
No, the Browns and the Raiders. Consistently right. Awful. Lions are well down there. The Jets are down there, but have had some decent seasons. You see, the Lions have kind of been okay since
the last
Stafford.
Couple of since,
kind of since
Stafford,
well,
really?
Since right. Like when they went 0-17, 0-16 that year, and then they got Stafford from there, and then they've always been kind of competitive since then. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Calvin Johnson and everything. So
it's amazing that this podcast produces that level of detail and that level of research, and we don't even know what week in the regular season it is at the start of this.
Patriots
number
details.
1 by a mile, or number 30, closest to 32 by a mile, but Chiefs. But the more interesting ones are the ones that don't win every year. So the Chiefs are up there, but actually, what you take from, like, what's a well-run club and what's not a well-run
Dallas.
Club? Dallas, decent, yeah, like top 10 anyway, about 8 or 9, I think.
They hit an offensive
but
line
it's
so much.
The Ravens and the Eagles are the two teams that would surprise you, and the Steelers, obviously, kind of well up there, top 5. They're in the top 5, I think, with the Chiefs and the Patriots. And then down the bottom, you have just teams that just never seem to do anything. Jacksonville are towards the bottom, all right, yeah, but it's, again, it's the Browns and the Raiders just never seem to be able to do anything right. And you have to, at some point, I think it's a really, the reason I did it was because I think it's a really interesting stat to have, because it measures long-term success and failure in a league that's designed for everybody to have the same chance.
Yeah.
And if you're consistently over years and years and years, and those two teams are actually a good bit behind everybody else in average draft pick, so it's like, surely at some point there has to be like almost a punishment for the owners. Surely the NFL should be able to like vote out an owner or something like that. Like if Mark Davis is consistently running the worst team in the league, then he shouldn't have that privilege anymore.
I'm glad you went to Mark Davis, because all I was thinking while you were saying all this is Al Davis is,
or those other idiots at the Browns, they're even worse.
Al Davis is below us somewhere shaking his fist at you right now.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I should get back on track here.
By the way, the first season of that, the Raiders picked number 2. So they started off pretty well. I don't know what it was.
It would have been someone who ran.
Pick 31 is what I meant to say. Sorry, because they were in the Super Bowl the first year. And then they barely made the playoffs ever since. Yeah. They lost to the Bucks.
Did we? We didn't talk about the Brian Callahan sacking and the incredible stats.
Yes.
That was the whole point of bringing that up. Sorry. If you get the number one overall pick and if you pick a quarterback, dun dun dun, reader, it is not good for you.
Yeah, I'm just going to read this out because it is a little bit convoluted to say it properly. But in the last 10 seasons since 2016, only two quarterbacks have been selected with the number one overall pick and finished out their rookie season with the same head coach that began that season. That's not the majorly surprising thing to me. The surprising thing to me is the next part. Since the very first NFL draft in 1936, no head coach had ever been fired in the middle of the same season that his team drafted a quarterback with the first overall pick until 2016. In the 10 years since, it's happened 6 times, including 4 of the last 5. Like, what happened in 2016 that we went from one polar opposite to the other? Like, this whole thing of, like, no, young people don't have attention spans anymore and they can't watch anything that's longer than a TikTok. Is this, like, these NFL owners have the same issue now?
Was 2016 Jared Goff and Jeff Fisher?
I think so, yes.
So you already have the idea that you've already coached a team to the worst record in the league. So that's already there. But then I suppose it doesn't really explain why you've had the change.
Well, I think what they do
there's definitely less patience now.
They give you a chance, and if you don't show early doors that you're going to be brilliant, having had the chance, so you've got the bad track record, the stink is following you around. You get the new quarterback in who's, you know, face of the franchise. Sometimes you don't start him in the first game because he's actually not that good.
Oh, that's gone too.
That's it.
You're not. Yeah.
Even though it might not actually be the right thing for them. Like, if you redrafted that season where everybody passed, including the Ravens famously on Lamar, if you redrafted that now, he'd be number one. He starts straight away for them, doesn't he?
By the way, that's the Josh Allen draft as well. So I don't, he might not be number one. But wasn't it? Yeah, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen.
Yeah. So, and Darnold and all those boys at the top. Yeah.
He probably starts straight away on most of those teams if they know what they know now, whereas the Ravens did take the time.
Because they
had a long-term plan, but they also didn't 100% believe in him as much as they'll tell you they did now.
I think Flacco was there the first year.
He was.
And also, don't forget, like, Patrick Mahomes was selected number 15. Everybody knew
he's got number one in that draft. They redraft now.
Yeah.
And are they also going to sit him for a year? Because that was actually totally the right thing from
them. They were a playoff team that had a quarterback that was going to get them as far as they needed to go with Alex Smith. And, you know,
by all accounts, he was ripping it up in training. So
they brought him in for week 17 and he scored
700 points.
5 touchdowns or something, wasn't it?
The crazy thing is, at this stage as well, we have these coaches come in and they go completely definitive. And they're like, this player is definitely not going to start during his rookie season. And every single one of us now, I can't remember who it was, but there was a very specific one recently. Or it's like, he's not going to play until next year. It's guaranteed to happen. And every single one of us think of that now and go, I'll give it to at least week 6.
Yeah, Drake May wasn't meant to play last year, and everyone knew. The Patriots had a bye after week 4, and there was an absolute acceptance that Drake May was going to play in week 6. The only people who denied it were the club. He played week 6.
We kept that Patriots ticker moving anyway. So.
Look, it's an example. It's an example.
No, it is, but the, like, but the Jackson Dart one is the one I'm coming to, because I was like, oh, he'll definitely be starting by week 12. And I was so far off. It was week 4 or whatever it was. Even when Russell Wilson went and played that game against the Cowboys,
last
and we
game.
Were like, oh, he actually looks really good here. And then 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks later, he was gone.
Jackson Dart looks amazing, right?
Yeah, he looks fun. Anyway,
he's so confusing to me because I watched him in college and I was like, this is the most frustrating quarterback ever. I'd have no interest in him. He might be my favorite quarterback to watch right now, but that's part of the problem is he plays a bit like Adrian Peterson. He's like lowering his helmet into people constantly.
Can't keep doing that.
He's going to get absolutely beaten to hell.
Jackson Dart and Scadaboo.
They fixed that with Drake May.
Yeah. to an extent. I don't think he was as bad as this, but yeah.
I think that it comes back to what we were just talking about as well, though. Dable's under such pressure to keep his job. I don't think Dable wants to stop him doing it.
Yeah.
He's like, I need these short-term wins.
The other thing, though,
that, performance that
the other thing that factors into the sudden change in 2016, I don't know if that's the year this came in, but it would have been close to it, is the rookie pay scale.
Yeah.
And suddenly the idea of having your number one overall pick puts you on a timeline and you can't just sit on your hands in the way
you used. When did that happen? What year is the rookie pay scale?
Not sure, but it would have been mid 2010s, I would say.
One of the other theories was that the younger coaches came in and started being more aggressive with trades. And because of that, there's now, you put the trades in, the clock starts ticking in the owner's mind going, well, hang on a second, this guy's put all this draft capital in, it better be instantly successful. So the impatience of the coaches is reflected in the impatience of the owners.
Very final part on this as well, because I know we probably want to move on. The practice rules, I think, have probably changed a lot, where there's much fewer reps and opportunities to have reps. So there might be a thought process there as well that the quarterback sitting now is kind of just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas before it was, we can give him full training sessions every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Set behind our regular quarterback also getting full training sessions.
Fair point. The Bills. I think everybody just assumed the Bills were going to be Super Bowl champions 3 weeks ago, and now they're crashing and burning.
I thought they'd be number one seed into the playoffs anyway, and then what happens after that, it happens. But I don't think it's not confusing what's happening to them.
No, but it's showing up at a point where I thought it had gone away as a concern. So basically, from my perspective, watching the offense, the problem is their wide receivers are really slow and they can't get open, so Allen's dropping back and he's holding the ball forever. And I expected that to be a major problem last year. It wasn't. I expected that to be a major problem this year, and it wasn't for the first 4 weeks. And now suddenly the last 2 weeks, teams have figured out, oh, if we just sit back and force his receivers to try and get open, he can't do anything. Mm. And it's worked perfect. The Falcons are abusing him on third downs with their blitz designs. But to me, I'm still shocked. Like, even after watching it, because if we went back 10 days, not even 2 weeks, and you said to me who's the favourites for the Super Bowl, at that point I would have gone Bills, Eagles, easy. Neither of them have won a game since. They're both 0-2 since, and both of them are kind of beating themselves, I feel like, in certain ways. It doesn't feel like they came up against two teams that were really good and they couldn't handle them, you know.
You look at the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb out, and I know we all have issues with Pickens, right?
Oh, he's been great.
Maybe it's character, maybe it's whatever, right, consistency. But you look at Pickens, you know, how could this guy be a number two receiver at a team like Dallas, when the Bills, who probably are in a window where they should be winning the Super Bowl, don't have a number one.
Yeah,
and they really don't.
Shakir's their best.
Shakir, Coleman,
injured.
None of them are.
Headline.
I had him in fancy for a couple of weeks and let him go because he's just not.
He's
not getting enough volume. Like, you know,
is Keon Coleman playing tonight? It's like, yes,
do you know what I mean? Like, but who
is after the first four drives?
Exactly. Yeah. So what's like Allen supposed to do? He's got a decent tight end that he can find a bit, but that's not going to win you a Super Bowl. You need a guy who you can find 10 times a game. And you look at, again, it's not to bring it back, but it's just watching him every week. It's like Diggs has been able to do that for Drake May, and then that's made the guys around him, the number two and three, relevant because he's had a number one. What's Josh Allen supposed to do? He's the best quarterback, but he doesn't have a guy we can find at all times to then bring someone like Shakir up the ladder because he's open, because they have to really concentrate on your number one guy.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm probably one of the bigger Josh Allen skeptics, definitely around the best, probably in this room as well. But like, I wouldn't watch the last two games and go, he's done anything notably wrong. He's been in positions that are unwinnable, and they're so used to... There has been some occasions plays he's missed, but that happens all the time. But it's not even just the receivers, sorry. In their fourth and short in the Falcons game, they had at least two of them where they decided to run sideways and throw the ball sideways, and you're kind of going, now, I hate the tush push, and I hate that the Eagles ran it four times in a row last week, but there's also an element of, you've got a really big quarterback and you need this first down to keep the game alive. Let him quarterback sneak it, or at least use his size in a way that's not running sideways and playing to the defense. Yeah. So it's not only the receivers, the play calling there has been questionable as well.
If he runs in behind the tight end there, he goes for the first down standing up.
Yeah.
Like, he's so big. Like, there's just...
Fall forward. But even saying all this, I still think they'll figure it out to a level that they'll be contending in the playoffs. There might be a trade after summer. Maybe they can go get Calvin Ridley and figure out how to use him.
I just think they need to try someone that can actually even become a one potentially. But
Is there any wide receiver?
James
on
Cook
a team?
Has gone off the boil a little bit, and I think it's because teams. I haven't watched it closely enough to know, but it would suggest to me that teams are flooding the box because if you stop them on the ground, those receivers aren't going to get open and let Allen kill you through the air.
Yes, and he's also like still breaking tackles and still finishing plays going forward, but not getting the same impact because...
They were complaining afterwards they didn't get the ball enough to him, and the head coach was going to ask the offensive coordinator, what's going on there with the guy, give the guy the ball, you know? Which I'm surprised they don't do during the game. Do you not just do that during the match?
Yeah, he's on the headphones, so I'm like...
Could you maybe, you know, give the good guy the ball? Just a stupid idea.
I'm trying to think. Is there any 4-2 now? Garrett Wilson, maybe? Like, that's probably the only receiver you could think of.
Are they going to trade him in division?
There's a whole list here. Jacoby Myers, DJ Moore, Chris Olave, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins.
Olave would be very good.
Tyler Lockett. There's like obviously a wide range of...
Olave would make a lot of sense. I don't know if the Saints would let him go for anything.
I was going to say, the Saints would want to start thinking about... Instead of clearing the decks, thinking about building their team, because I've seen them 3 times this year and they're such a surprise. They're really decent.
Do you think?
They're not good enough.
In theory, they need the quarterback skill in them.
They're doing this thing where they've brought. I think Kellen Moore is going to be a good coach because what he's done is taken the same raw materials as what was there last year, and even though they're losing games, they're in every single game, which is all you need the first year. And then let's see, do they need a quarterback? They probably do.
They have your man Tyler Shaw, who's going to come in at some point, the second round pick, but absolutely no one is
excited about him. I don't know if Ritter's going to lose his job too quickly. Spencer Rattler, yeah. Ritter is the guy who was a disaster on the Falcons, wasn't he?
The Falcons, yeah. If the Bills went 4-0, their first 4 wins came against teams with a combined record of 3-21. They've got to go to Carolina next. Now, let's wait and see. But Carolina at home, obviously...
Rico Dowdle.
Apparently have the same weapons, same build, the same build that the Falcons have. And then after that, I think they're going to Kansas.
They barely beat the Jets. They barely beat the Saints.
Going to Kansas or are they welcoming the Chiefs? Because that's a big deal with them, I find. They're at home against the Chiefs. They're probably decent. I could be completely wrong on the record-wise of this, but I'd never feel confident in them going into Cincinnati or going into Kansas City. Plus, we should mention, Mahomes kind of finally turned around and was like, all right, I'm sick of this looking like crap and us being a struggling team. And they just, like, he was like, all right, I'm taking over. Let's make this work. And it was a very, very Tom Brady-esque performance. So it was like, I don't have my deep balls anymore. I don't have my threat over the top. So I'm just going to adjust to that now and make every play underneath that I can and do every single one to a high level. And he was incredible. It was the first sign this year, the first game this year where it's like, oh yeah, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's why I expected this team to win 15 games, even though they're not good.
If you're talking about Brady comparisons, on the years when the Patriots didn't have the team, they weren't going to win a Super Bowl, but they'd still get to the second round of the playoffs. They might even make the AFC Championship game. And they were always the years that Brady played out of his skin. Mm. And almost in a weird way, the Chiefs aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year, I don't think. But it's, you know, if they make the AFC Championship, it's going to be on the back of Mahomes. And that's where, funnily enough, in the end of his career, that's where the legend lays.
Yeah.
Because he keeps them relevant no matter what's going on around them. And I think he's shown enough. So he's playing much better this year on a worse team than he did last season when they were cruising.
A big key for them as well this week, not even just Mahomes. Like Mahomes, everything you're saying there is 100% right, and Mahomes is the reason.
They're favourites for the Super Bowl, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah, that never goes away until it goes away, though.
The big key this week compared to previous weeks as well was defensively, they were like, we're stopping the run today. And with the Lions, when you stop the run, Jared Goff falls apart, which is just historically, that's always the way that works. And Spagnuolo was obviously like, if we let them get a run up, if we let them get into their offense, our offense can't keep up with that. So they got ahead, got in front. They scored on their first drive, I think. But after that, it was kind of like David Montgomery had a couple of carries. Jahmyr Gibbs obviously got somebody yardage, he always does. But the big plays, the setup plays, the we're running off tackle here on first down. That means we get to second and four. That's when our play action game comes in. And that's when Jared Goff hits Jameson Williams for 60 yards. That stuff was all gone.
Yeah. I say they're not going to win it. That's based on them being 3-3, right? There is another point of like, there is no team at the moment sticking their head above. Like, the Eagles are gone, the Bills are gone. Now, it's not that they're out of contention, but in terms of their form.
So the odds are Chiefs 7-1.
Packers have been awful.
Bills 7-1, Packers 8-1, the Lions 17-2, close enough to 8. And then it's the Eagles at 11, the Rams at 14, Colts at 18. Tampa, I don't know why they've dropped back so horrifically.
Well, their injuries are a joke at the moment, but I don't think it's going to stop them.
Mike Evans is coming back.
They have their 3 top receivers and their running back are all injured at the same time, and they're still winning games.
And we should also mention the Chicago Bears have a new superstar
4 top receivers. Sorry, McMillan as well. I forgot about him.
Jake Moody. Yeah,
you didn't enjoy watching that. It's a,
he missed his first one.
He hit the game winner, and he hit 3 others.
The way that works is that, like, there's a stink on him. Life is terrible. He gets a a free pass now in Chicago where they're like, we picked this guy for nothing.
Yeah.
And the draft capital is gone from him.
So it was the Packers kicker that was there for 15 years. That was his story, wasn't it? He was terrible when his first place went to. Oh, I can't think of his name now. He was literally there forever. He was unbelievable.
Recently?
No, this is like Brett Favre into Rodgers times. Okay.
I wish him the best. You know, it is...
Mason Crosby.
It is terrible. Oh, yeah. Where it's like, oh, you're really good at this thing and then you're terrible at it. Like,
yeah.
He didn't cost him the Super Bowl, really.
I shouldn't have mentioned the 49ers.
Who did? Shannon?
Well, which one?
What about Fred Warner? Like, God almighty. I was watching that.
I didn't see this. I only heard.
They just went to him in red zone with the air cast around his leg. And you're like, I can't actually believe this. Because they built their entire... They cut ties and they said, right, we're building again. And we're doing it with Warner and Bosa. And they're both gone for the year. And it's just like... And like they were 4-1. They were... And with no quarterback. They were ticking along and everything was... And then... Oh, my God. They seem just cursed at the moment.
The really sad part for Fred Warner as well is, like, he's 28, about to turn 29. Now, that sounds like, oh, he's grand. He might come back. Middle linebackers don't. Like, once you're hitting 30, you're like... Yeah. Unless you're Ray Lewis or some of the exceptions over the years, you're done at 30 for the most part. Now, Warner could have been the exception, but now you've got this major injury. It's probably going to change the trajectory of the rest of his career as well.
Yeah, I'm Bosa, I think it's his third ACL. He did one as a teenager. He's done his second one at... And that's all their money. Now, they did get some money back because they'd insured against Bosa. So maybe they
doesn't give you the cap space, though.
Fred Warner did get $6 million cap space.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, what was the actual hit? Like, the hit's probably 20,
17
was it?
Or something. Yeah, so
you get enough to sign someone to a cover of them.
The offense can come together. The offense can come together. It depends, I suppose, is like in the new defense where they were building around Warner and Bosa and cut all the other big money guys, have the new guys stepped up to at least become... a relevant defense. The offense clicks, can like they're still 4-2. They're still in the season.
Speaking of offenses coming together, we should mention the Colts because I actually was kind of fascinated by this game this weekend. I know it's kind of a bit of a random one to pick out, Colts versus Cardinals, and Cardinals that are backup quarterback in. You think you wouldn't learn much from it, but I actually I've been really interested in Daniel Jones' season so far because, as I've said previously, I feel like it's going to fall off a bit, but I also feel like everything has gone right for him for the first month. And then in this game, everything didn't go right for him, but they still found a way to win. And he was actually part of their coming back within the game. Like, right. Now, he threw one horrendous interception before halftime. As in, the linebacker was standing there. He looked at the linebacker, stared at the linebacker, looked at him again, and then went, I'm going to throw you the ball, and threw it straight to him. And he did that exact same play again in the second half with a safety at the start of the second half, but the safety dropped the ball. And then from there, he actually rebounded. And it's very frustrating because I spent so much time criticizing Shane Steichen for his play calling with Anthony Richardson. His play calling with Daniel Jones is so much better because after Jones looked like he was falling apart, he went to fully running. Like he gave Jonathan Taylor on one drive alone had 62 yards rushing, and it was after Jones had made his big mistakes. It was like, okay, we're going to take the pressure off you, get you back into the game, rely on our really talented offensive soaring past, and manage you your way through this so we still win the game. And that to me was like, okay, this is actually a really smart, well-rounded, good football team. So maybe I'll be coming around a little bit to them actually being good later in the year. Now cut to next week and he's thrown 6 interceptions.
They're 5-1?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're flying. And in a division that nobody's really going to challenge them, given the Jags' performance, I think, at the weekend. I'm going to give a very, very quick fancy update, considering we're talking about the Colts. I played this week against Jonathan Taylor and Scadaboo.
Good luck.
Josh Allen was the quarterback and did nothing on Monday night. And the player playing against me still had 170 points. I had 125 and was hammered. Went into the Monday night with a 0% chance of winning.
I mean, the two running backs probably had 120, did they?
Insane.
Scadaboo is some player, actually, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't look.
There's a lot of weird stuff that's happening. The Panthers are now 3-3. Yeah. Like, they're always doing football. It's like...
Dowdle, 200 yards, two weeks in a row.
And what do we think of the Giants?
The problem is neighbours not being there. Like, beating the Eagles last week, they had a bunch of plays in the passing game that I just don't think are replicable. I don't know what word it is.
Replic.
But I don't think you know what
word. I made it worse.
Is it a word? It's probably not. But he had one play in particular early in the game where he heaved the ball down field and some backup wide receiver made this incredible, not Odell style catch, but a sprawling catch over a defender. And you're kind of going, if Neighbors does that, I'm like, okay, he can repeat that every week. This random guy, maybe he will, but I don't feel like that's going to be a repeatable aspect in the offense that they can rely on.
One thing I'll say, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I don't think you were here, that defense is getting better every week.
Yeah.
And they have that, like, Burns Thibodeau. And, yeah, and Carter, isn't it?
The rookie, yeah.
Like, you know, all that's big, big playmakers all the time. They're going to get better all the time. And if the offense can keep this kind of momentum up, they just could win a lot of games. Like they can
score. It's going to be a pain to hold the play.
It's just going to be one of those
years. They could be a 10-7, 6-seed, 7-seed.
It's actually one of those teams who kind of out of nowhere wins the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
Because there's
like out of nowhere it wouldn't be.
But I wouldn't have them higher. I wouldn't have them that much higher than say like Atlanta or someone like that. You know what I mean? They're in a kind of a pool of teams that could happen with.
So I mean, if Atlanta were to win the Super Bowl, you would be quite surprised. But
I'd be surprised by the Giants.
Speaking of, just because you mentioned Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, wow. He's like, I've been not a skeptic, but I haven't been on high as him as other people the last couple of weeks, and especially the last week here against the Bills. Oh my God, the tackles he was breaking. The guy's just falling off him. Now, he got very lucky because he had a fumble in the first play of the game, but it was ruled out for a penalty that had nothing to do with causing the fumble. So, like, that was pure fluke. But after that, he's possessed. Like, he's kind of doing what Barkley did last year with less fanfare.
By the way, are the Eagles in a blip or are they in decline? Jalen Carter's not playing at the moment, which isn't ideal.
You can't rely on him to always be there too, though.
That's what I mean. You can't be just one player, but like that seems to be what they're saying after the Giants game. But their offense is obviously not clicking at all.
I wouldn't, like, the defense wouldn't concern me massively. It's the offense is the big issue for me. And like, see, I was comparing the Bills and the Eagles this week, and I was kind of looking at the Bills and going, the Bills structurally, because they're wide receivers, because of the play calling, they're a mess. They don't, like, they're not in a good place. The Eagles' offense, I feel like, is 100% just how well does Jalen Hurts play? Because like,
maybe try throwing the ball to your good receiver.
That's part of his issue,
if
too.
If they're
though.
Boring up the middle, like, bullshit style of play isn't working, surely you have enough talent there with the receivers you have, your running back and your quarterback, that you can play a different way.
I also wonder, try it. If you're doing that kind of thing all the time in these situations, does Hurts, like, I know he's scoring touchdowns, getting all the applause for the score, but I do wonder, does he at some point wear him down physically, but mentally at some point in the back of his mind, is he not going, why can't we run a normal offense? Why can't I be the quarterback I'm meant to be? Why am I suddenly this fullback who throws the ball every so often?
Where's my arc? Is what he's asking. Right.
That's a reference
reference for you. That is it this week. We'll be back week, whatever it is, next week.